18 through 22. You can find it in the Pew Bible on page 1917. It's entitled, To the Church in Laodicea. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, These are the words of Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you may become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful and nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has ears, let him hear. And the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of God for the people of God. And this morning, our message is brought to us by Brother Al.
Brother, thank you. Well, thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Well, it's great to be back with you again. I understand that Pastor Joe and Bonnie are going to be visiting relatives. There was some question as to whether they were going to be doing that because I think they had COVID or something. We talked with them, I don't know, about a week ago. We ran into them in the restaurant, and there was a question whether they were going to be able to visit or not. So I said to them, well, you know, hey, you can continue to preach. You know, I can come another day. Go, oh, no. You know, whether I go or not, you're preaching. So, you know, you're stuck with me. So, anyway, it's always a joy to be back with you and share God's word with you. I take a lot of teasing at the men's breakfast because with this whiteboard, which kind of blocks everybody out, so I'm going to step down here. And I always like to use the whiteboard because I don't really consider myself a preacher all that much. Although I can really get the preaching if you fire me up, you know. But I consider myself more of a teacher than a preacher. Not a whole lot of difference. And so that's why the whiteboard is here all the time. And this morning, I would like to ask a question to all of you, and that is this. And I'm a terrible speller, but I can spell these words anyway. A-T. Okay, something like that anyway. Again, I had a prof in seminary that couldn't spell worth a lick. He and I got along really well. And what he would do if he couldn't spell, he would just put the letter T and then go like this, you know, so that'll suffice. But what is your temperature? On a day like today, we've been enjoying some really hot. How many of you like the hot weather? Only a few. Okay. I thought there was going to be more hands than that. How many of you like the cold weather? Okay. How many of you like the weather somewhere in between? Yeah, but more hands there, right? Okay. But that's not really what's being talked about here, the weather in between, right? In fact, it's not really talking about weather. It's talking about us. And
The speaker here, John, is recording this, but he's recording what Jesus is saying to him. And it's Jesus that's speaking here. And Jesus is saying, you know, I am the Alpha and Omega, right? You need to listen to me because I'm from creation on here. And he says, I know who you are. Right? And I'd like to say this morning to you, you know, Jesus knows who you are. God knows who you are. And you are neither hot nor cold, Jesus says. Now, in Laodicea, they were noted, they were a great commerce city, famous for their textile industry, their banking industry. They were considered to be a wealthy city. And they had aqueducts that would, you know, bring water in, and it was a very sophisticated city at the time. And the rivers that would flow, they had hot springs. You ever been to a hot spring? They're pretty cool. Yeah. Not pretty cool, but you know what I mean. They're nice to jump into and warm. I mean, it's like jumping into a hot tub if you've ever been into a hot tub. But by the time that this river, the Lycus River, I believe it was, by the time that river flowed down into the city, the water became lukewarm. It wasn't cold and it wasn't hot, but it was lukewarm. And Jesus knew this, and everyone throughout the city knew exactly what Jesus was talking about when he says, what did I do? You know, when you get old, you have to use these things. And the trouble with that is, when I put these on, I can only see this scripture, and I can't see you. You all look blurry, but that's probably a good thing, right? But he says, so I know your works. I know who you are. I know what you do. I know what you think. I know what you say. I know what comes out of your mouth. Boy, you know, as I was preparing for this message, it really convicted me. Because, you know, we are lukewarm. What's our temperature? 98.6. That's what it should be, right? And that's what it is most of the time. And so we carry on like ho-hum, right? Everything is as it is. And we can, well, a while ago, I don't know how long ago, but I brought a message to you on complacency. And that's what Jesus is also talking about here, is complacency, right? And as I was, you know, studying for this, reading for this, I thought to myself, you know, Jesus says to me, I know who you are, Al. I know who you are. Now, you know, you all might see me as such and such, Reverend Doctor or whatever, you know, the men at the men's breakfast. Hey, Al, how you doing, Brother Al, right? But Jesus says, I know who you are, right? You're not faking me, right? I know who you are. I even know your thoughts. And I was challenged, I don't know, a Sunday or two ago, when we were challenged to look at our struggles and to be honest with our struggles. What do we struggle with? And so took that message home, and Deb and I were sitting in the car, and I said, so Deb, what do you struggle with? And I figured she would, you know, really divulge some things. And she said, well, what do you struggle with? I hate it when she does that, you know. And I said, well, you know, I struggle mostly with my thought life. That's what I struggle with most. And I never had a problem with pornography, and a lot of men do. I never had a problem with drinking and gambling and, you know, bars and all that kind of thing. But what I really struggle with in my thought life is that my anger, you know, And I go to a men's group as well. We do a Bible study. And I was saying a couple weeks ago, I think most men struggle with wanting revenge. You know, if somebody does me wrong, you know, I want to get them, you know. And I was never really a fighter as I, you know, in high school and so forth. But boy, I sure wanted to. And most of you that know me, in fact, probably all of you that know me except for my wife, you know, wouldn't guess that I have an anger problem, right? And that's because I really try to make wise choices with regards to my thought life. See? And, you know, when Jesus says, I know who you are, see? You can be sitting here and looking, and you all look great. You sang great, right? But Jesus is saying to you, I know who you are. And you're not hot, and you're not cold, but you're lukewarm. And I don't know about you, but I don't like that. You know? Now, hot and cold have some advantages, don't they? How many of you like your coffee hot? Yeah. How many of you like it cold? Not many, right? But you know, this when the temperature's like this, I'm a soda drinker. I like my soda about as cold as I can get it, or water. I like my water as cold as I can get it. And if it's lukewarm, and this has happened, I'll grab a water and go to drink it, and it's not cold. And you know what I do? Right? Yuck! Who wants to drink lukewarm water, right? And I would, you know, challenge you, as God has challenged me, to take a look at my temperature. What am I? Okay? What am I? Am I hot? Am I cold? Or am I lukewarm? And I would like to suggest that most all of us are lukewarm. And that's the climate in which we live today. That everything is okay. You notice that? Everything is okay. It's okay to kill the unborn, right? Same-sex marriages, right? And you know, it used to be, back in my day, and that's how you know you're getting old when you say stuff like that. Back in my day, I remember that when you got engaged, you know, you planned for the wedding, and you know, you went to counseling, right, and you did all these things to prepare for marriage, and then you married the girl, and then you consummated the relationship. Well, guess what? That doesn't really happen anymore, does it? What's the deal? What's the deal? And even in the Christian church, and many of you know that I attend Bridgewater Church in Montrose, and it's a large church. And there's, I don't know, how many people on any given Sunday. That's neither here nor there. But I'll tell you something. That the congregation has quite a few people in it that they are living together without being married. And yet they profess to be Christian people. Right? And nobody says anything. Okay? What's that about? Did God ordain marriage for all of us? Shouldn't we be doing that, right? But anyway, this is the climate in which we live. Okay? Lukewarm. Everything's okay. Everything is, you know, well, what's the big deal? But Jesus says, no. I'd rather you be hot or cold rather than lukewarm. And then he goes on to say, that because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of your mouth. Now, you know, I had a reputation when I was counseling way back when that I was tough was the way I was talked about as a counselor. And I didn't really know what that meant. I mean, I was just doing my thing. Until I asked one day, well, what do you mean by that? They say, well, you know, you're pretty gutsy. You tell it like it is. And I said, well, okay, I guess I'm tough then. But you know who's tougher? Jesus, right? And he's pretty tough here. He's gutsy. Because he says that if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you. I didn't say this. Jesus did. Right? What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that truth? How does that impact you? How does that affect you? Right? And he says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered. I have need of nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched. Listen to this. Talk about telling it like it is. You are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. Wow. Can you say, throw anything else in there, Jesus? You know, it's like, right? Having tomatoes thrown at you or something, right? They were pretty cocky people. And they were in need of nothing. And most of us here, well, we don't really need anything when you think about it, right? We have, in fact, a lot of us have toys. I have toys. My wife says I have too many. But we're in need of nothing, see? And when we're in need of nothing, I think we become even more lukewarm. We become even more complacent. Because we don't need Jesus. And I'm here this morning to say, you know what? You need Jesus. I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And the answer isn't politics. Regarding what party affiliation you have, this is not a politics. That's not going to solve the problem. Jesus is the only one who's going to solve the problem. Got to change hearts. I don't hear any amens.
Amen.
Yeah, it's a Presbyterian church. Come on, right? And Jesus says, listen to this. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire. There's no gold purer than that that is refined by fire, so that you may be rich. And what's he talking about? He's talking about in here. That you may be rich. White garments, so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness. How often do we feel ashamed of what comes out of our mouth? You know, many times I can't tell whether I'm talking to a Christian or not because they talk just like somebody that's not a Christian. We need to be different. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be different.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yeah. We need to be different. And we need to look different. We need to talk different. We need to live different. Because that's what God has called us to. And here it is. And he could very easily be saying, the little white church on Franklin Hill, clothe yourself. I counsel you, clothe yourself. Buy from me the gold that's been refined by fire. And you know what he's talking about? Well, let me read on. Those whom I love. And you know what? You are a loving church. You are a loving. You're one of the, I think one of the most, when I think of a loving church, I think of you guys. And Deb amens that. That even gets me a little emotional. I love you guys. You know? And I know you love me for whatever reasons. when I preach a message like this, you know, it's like, well, I don't know, right? But I love you guys, and I know you love me. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I love you. But because I love you, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous, I should say, and repent. What does it mean to repent? Well, the word repent literally means to turn. To turn from being lukewarm. And turning to a place where we invite people to church, where we talk about our relationship with God. I was at a party last night, and Mark Kaysen was there. And he's not doing very well. And I told him, I said, we're going to pray for you Sunday morning. We need to put him on the list. And then his wife was there and said that her daughter is also not doing very well. And you wrote down her name. I said, we're going to pray for her too. Yeah, with cancer, yeah. And, you know, are you talking about God wherever you go? And when you say to somebody, how you doing? And they say, oh, I'm doing well. Is there something I can pray for you? Oh, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing, Pastor. You know, that's embarrassing. Really? Really? You're embarrassed to talk about Jesus? You're embarrassed to say, I'm going to pray for you? Think about it. Or do you want to be lukewarm? And to repent, to turn from our lukewarmness, to turning to, hey, you know what? We're gonna crank it up a few notches. And I don't mean, you know, go out and, you know, like I've seen some on a street corner with a megaphone and playing some trombone that's out of tune or something, saying, hey, yo, what? That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is what Jesus is talking about here. Live it. Live it. Let your life be different. You know, one of the things that I got to quit here, but you know, one of the things that I love about the neighborhood I live in and the community that I live in, everybody knows. And despite all of my sin and all of my screw-ups, everybody knows I love Jesus. And when they got a problem, guess who they come to? They don't go to the church pastor. They say, Al, can I talk to you? And they say, hey, Al, can you pray with me? Al, I don't know what to do. And I always point them to Jesus, and they know that. And they still come. And I've even been asked by some people that never darken the door of a church, can you marry us? Because we know that you love us, that you care about us. And I'm there, wow, you know, I may not be a pastor of a church, but I'm a pastor of the community. I'm a neighborhood, you know, and that thrills my heart. Eh? And you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to have an education. But you got to read God's word. You got to know God's word. Do you know it? What's your temperature? Do you know it? Do you know where to find it? Do you know where to go? Right? To talk to people. People are hurting now more than ever before. We are an angry nation. I've never seen it so bad. So angry. And fearful. Everybody's afraid. Eh? You know what? Here's the great news. You have the answer. There's hope. Eh? And you know, you can watch the news. I quit watching the news because it's so negative. I don't even watch it anymore. Yeah, hey, there we go. There's an amen. Yeah. And you know, amid all this the junk that's going on, Okay. Boy, you know what? I woke up one morning and I do listen to the local news because there's always some really good stuff on the local news. But I woke up one morning and I turned on the local news, and the first thing that came up was R.V. Wade was reversed. And I said, hallelujah. You know, God is sovereign. All this junk going on, and God says, you know what? Here's the hope. Here I am. We're going to reverse it. And I pray that it stands. Are you praying that it stands? That we will no longer kill unborn babies. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Hey? God is still on the throne. Amen? Amen? That's the hope, right? You have it. I have it. You are you're Presbyterian. Come on, I know what your theology is. God chose you before the very foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. That's what it says. You got the answer. Are you sure in that answer? Hey, and it says here when you do, hey, you know what? We're going to be reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again. Hallelujah. Does that excite you? You know, I did get to preaching, didn't I? Because when I get excited, I preach. Hey? I hope you're getting excited about, you know, despite all the junk that's going on, God is still on the throne. God is showing up and he's saying, see what I can do. The politics don't matter. I matter. And I'm going to rule this world. I'm going to rule in righteousness. Are you going to rule with him?
He's the only answer.
Amen, brother.
Always face.
Amen. That's right. That's right. And Caesar always amens me somehow. So thank you for that. Well, with that, I'm going to close because Jim's going to go one of these here pretty quick. So let me pray with you. I love you and looking forward to coming back if I wasn't too hard on you here. Because you know what? If it sounds like I'm hard on you, it's because I love you. And, you know, God is hard on me first. You know, when I preached the message on complacency, if you remember, Deb and I were just dating then. And we were engaged. And, you know, Deb, after I preached that message, she came home and said, you know what? We got to do something different. She said, I can't wait to be married. And I said, yeah, I know what you mean. And so I said, let's get married. So the very next day we got married. Because I didn't want to be complacent. I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know? I don't want to be lukewarm. And I trust you don't either. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for our time together. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for these people that I love so much. And you love them even more. And thank you for how they love. Thank you for how they pray. And just pray that they would go forth, as I go forth this morning, just turning up the temperature a few notches so that we're not lukewarm. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.